Genesis 28 today, as we follow Jacob out to the open road, alone for the first time, and starting a journey that would alter his life. Jacob is one of the most complex and compelling people of the Bible. He's not your typical hero. In fact, at this point, he's not even a man of real faith in God. Not only did he lie and connive his way into his father's blessing, he brought God into the lie. As you may recall, when Isaac challenged him about his story, he said, "The Lord, your God, helped me." He never says, "my God," only "your God." Jacob knew that the Lord was father's God and grandfather's God. But for Jacob himself, no, not personal, not yet. Jacob's real story is still ahead, and it is one of the truly epic faith journeys of the Bible. Well, we find Jacob in a heap of trouble here in chapter 28. He got the blessing he wanted, but he buried every bridge he had in the process. His brother Esau wants him dead now, and he has a plan to make it happen. The story begins with farewell instructions from his father to go find a wife and one more blessing for the road. So Jacob heads out on his journey to a place called Paddan Aram, which always makes me think of Bananarama, but that's completely beside the point. It was a 500-mile trek, and he was on his own, which always makes me think of Whitesnake, which really just means I need to get my head out of the 80s. Seriously, though, do you know what it is to hit the road alone? Jacob had no one. You got to wonder what Jacob felt about God at this point. He grew up learning about the God of all creation. His father built altars, prayed, made sacrifices, and blessed Jacob in God's name. But in those days, most people believed that when you left home, you left your God behind. And then in verse 11, "And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep." There's an old saying that a clean conscience makes for a soft pillow. Jacob had the opposite. He was alone and he deserved it. And it looks like he chose a pillow to match how he felt. A rock. And then in verse 12, "And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.'" Now that was awesome. Seriously, look at what Jacob says in verse 17. "How awesome is this place?" And by awesome, he means stand in awe and be amazed that you don't drop dead because you just saw a ladder to heaven, angels going up and down, an almighty God up at the top speaking to you. That is awesome. Now, what Jacob saw and what God said is huge. First, the ladder or the stairway. You may have heard of Jacob's ladder. This is it. A connection between earth and heaven. But there's nothing that says that we can climb it. Certainly not in our own strength. The key here is that Jacob finds out that there is a way to heaven. He doesn't climb up. Angels do. But it does exist. Now, the Old Testament never reveals how to go up. But Jesus, in John chapter 1, told Nathanael, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." In other words, Jesus said, the mystery of the ages, the ladder to heaven, is finally revealed. And the ladder is the Son of Man, the Son of God who's born a man, Jesus himself. Now, if you don't believe in Jesus, that's okay. Jacob was not a believer either, not yet. But at least come to grips with who Jesus claimed to be. And Jacob was coming to grips with who this God is. In verse 13, God spoke, "I am the Lord, the God of your father." God recognizes that Jacob has not yet called him as his own God. But God makes his promise here nonetheless. He makes three promises, in fact, exactly what he had told Abraham. It is the covenant, land, descendants, and all the peoples of the earth blessed through you and your offspring. This reminder is so important. God's plan for the Israelites was always a plan to bless the whole world, all peoples, through one chosen people and one particular chosen offspring. And that one offspring was, of course, the Messiah. God always brings it back to the big plan. But in the midst of God's big plan for the world, Jacob has his own life to live. And right now, it's a mess. So the Lord spoke personally in verse 15. I am with you. I'll watch over you. And I will not leave you. God has big plans, but he still cares personally for one little person. Now all of this amazes me. God met Jacob at his absolute low. He just lied to his dad and brought God's name into the lie. And God meets him now? Jacob hasn't done anything good. He doesn't even really have faith in God yet. And God blesses him now. This is grace, and it is truly amazing. Jacob is amazed too. And in verse 16, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. This is the heart of a man who has just been struck with the reality of God's presence, and even more, God's personal care. Have you ever been struck, just overwhelmed, in awe and even fear and trembling? This is God. He is here. Your heart drops as if gravity just doubled. Your mind is struck with sudden clarity, and all your human strength, all your struggles, and all your clever ideas and schemes suddenly feel so small. How awesome is this place, says Jacob. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob sets the stone pillow he had used up on its end to make a memorial out of it. It is a night that he wants to remember. And in verse 19, he changes the name of the place from Luz to Bethel, that is, from separation to house of God. And that is exactly Jacob's experience, right there in the place of total separation, driven away by his own schemes and lies. There he found the house of God. And there he makes a vow in verse 20. The word if here at the beginning might better be translated as since. If God, or since God, will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. And so Jacob seals it. The liar and deceiver, the trickster driven by selfish ambition, the man alone who referred only to his father's God, now declares, the Lord shall be my God. And he puts his money where his faith is. He has nothing now, but he dedicates a tenth of everything from here on out to the God who provides it all. Read Genesis 28 today. Let God meet you on the lonesome road and make your decision. Will you keep referring to the God of your father or of your friends? Or will you finally say, the Lord shall be my God?
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.